The Create and Thrive Podcast, Episode 0, My Story. You know, those little moments in life where you don't really realize the significance of them until many, many years later and you look back. I'm Jess Van Den, and this is the Create and Thrive Podcast. A former school teacher, I turned my handmade hobby into a thriving business, and I also teach other creatives how to do the same. My goal is to help you learn how to turn your creative hobby into a thriving, profitable business. So let's get learning. So I wanted to start by telling you my story. And it's a little bit different to a lot of people who are creatives, in that I was not a creative child, in that traditional sense. You know, I didn't do crafts and I didn't really do any art or anything like that. I was actually an academic kid. I was reading novels by the time I was in grade two. I read a lot. I still do. Love reading, read a couple of hours a day if I can. And I also was interested in the sciences. So when I, you know, went through school, I've gravitated towards physics and biology and chemistry. Not that chemistry is my favourite thing. Biology was my favourite thing. I came second in my school when I graduated in biology, only beaten by a friend of mine who was the ducks of the school and worked a lot harder than me, so I didn't feel bad about that. But I went to university to do science. That was my plan. Funnily enough, though, there was a little bit of a hint of what was to come even back then, because when I applied for university, I didn't actually just apply for a straight science degree. I actually applied for a dual degree. Now, if you're outside of Australia, things work a little differently here to, say, the States, where you apply to a college and you get in and then you work out what you're going to do as you go. Here, you actually apply for a specific degree from the beginning. So I actually applied for a dual degree, which was a Bachelor of Science and a Bachelor of Arts degree to do concurrently. So instead of just getting one degree in 3 years, I got 2 degrees in 4 years. So that's what I did when I went to uni straight out of high school. So in my science degree, I majored in microbiology and genetics. And my plan, that had been my plan since I was about 6 years old, when I discovered I liked science, because science was all about discovering new things and solving mysteries. And that's what I enjoyed. But I was also really, really interested in other things. I took philosophy courses in my arts degree, and I also took a lot of English-based courses. I was a huge bookworm, loved reading, I liked to write. And I majored in English and also studies of religion in my arts degree. And I actually studied modern sort of religion, so things like paganism and the psychology of religion. I did a subject called Death and Dying, basically the philosophy and psychology of why people believe what they believe, and that fascinated me. I was so interested in how people's beliefs shaped them. So I kind of, you know, was going on two paths at the same time. You know, I didn't just want to do the science. I had all these other things I was fascinated by as well. But, you know, in the way you do when you're young and you kind of get this idea in your head that you're a certain way, you're a certain type of person and you will be a certain thing, I never really considered it again that I wouldn't go into science research. But when I finished uni, I realized that I wasn't really cut out to be a research scientist. And the reason I wasn't cut out to be a research scientist is because to do so, you have to be very focused. You have to just go down one really, really narrow path for the rest of your life. That, you know, you have to study one really small, obscure thing for the rest of your life to figure it out. And the thought of that just terrified me. It sounded horrible. So I thought, okay, well, I don't know what I want to do. So I took a year off and thought about things and worked a little bit. Just, you know, nothing, no real good jobs. I'd actually moved out into an outback town to be with my partner at the time, who was a teacher out there. And I'd actually also always done a bit of teaching. So during uni, I was a tutor for other students and stuff like that. So after a little while, when I really couldn't decide what I wanted to do with my life, I thought, hey, I think I'll do teaching. I think I'll become a teacher because I've always enjoyed sharing my knowledge with people and seeing them have those aha moments. And, you know, that's a really great profession to get into. So that's what I did. I did another degree in education, and after 2 years, I was a qualified teacher. Then I got a job in a school, and I actually did primary school teaching because I didn't have any desire to work with teenagers. I liked working with the younger kids, and I got a job in a school, and I have to say, that was probably the most stressful year of my life. And while I loved the teaching, I hated everything else that went along with it. I didn't like the admin. I didn't like all of the bookwork. I didn't, you know, really enjoy, you know, all of the other stuff that went along with it. I enjoyed the actual teaching and seeing kids learn, but the other stuff was just overwhelming. And, you know, the amount of hours you have to work to be a good teacher, and to, especially when you're starting out and, you know, you're just learning how everything works. I realized pretty swiftly that this isn't what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. So what's a girl to do? I had these 3 degrees. I had a profession that I knew I didn't really want to work in. So I kind of stepped sideways a little bit, and I was really, really lucky. And then I applied for a job with the Queensland Museum as a science communicator. So I got to teach, but not be in the traditional classroom. And that was kind of a turning point for me in my life. It was also the point where I broke up with my partner of almost 8 years, and he went his way and I went my way. And I started kind of a new phase of my life with this new job. And it was really fun. I worked with a team of 3 other people, and we actually traveled around the state. We had a big semi-trailer that had a classroom in it, and we would do labs with kids, and we'd go to a different school every week. And, you know, it was a really, really fun way to teach and get to know a whole lot of new kids and kind of spread the knowledge around that. You know, we were teaching about biotechnology and stuff like that. So I really enjoyed that. And after that job came to an end, because it was a, you know, government contract, these things run out of money, I got a job working for a maths and English tuition centre. Now, you'll notice that nowhere up to this point have I talked about anything creative or crafty or artistic. That it really wasn't a part of my life up to this point. The only thing that was the internet. So I had actually fallen in love with the internet in 1996 when we got it at home, and I started making websites. This was way back when pretty much the entire internet just worked on HTML, and I had this purple ring binder, and I taught myself HTML so that I could build websites. My first ever website, prepare yourself for this, was an X-Files fan site. I was a huge X-Files fan. I was a teenager too. So, you know, I was into that sort of thing, and I made a fan site, and it was really popular, and I really enjoyed it. And I think that's somewhere in the back of my mind that planted a seed of this idea. You know, the internet was so new then, but I kind of thought, wouldn't it be cool if you could make a living using the internet? Like, how awesome would that be? But of course, you know, this was before the days of blogging or anything. It was before the days of people really having internet businesses or anything like that. So I had absolutely no idea on how to make this happen. I just, it was something I enjoyed, and it was a hobby, but I never in a million years thought it would be something that would actually become a reality. So that was kind of along the way, you know, over the years, I'd still make websites occasionally and play around with things. And I started blogging in about, well, I had a live journal, if anybody remembers live journals, when I was in uni. And then I started blogging probably in the mid-2000s, just on different things, not what I talk about now. So that was all happening in the background. And when I got this job at the Maths and English Tuition Centre, I was hired to be the manager. And this was the first time I had ever been really exposed to business. Now, my dad was always in business. He was a sales rep for a roofing company. And, you know, I'd never in a million years thought that I wanted to be a business person. It just seemed really boring to me, and I wasn't at all interested. But when I got this job, and I was, you know, they took me and trained me how to be a manager. They trained me about the sales process and marketing and all that sort of stuff. And I actually realized it was really quite fascinating, because it kind of came back to that, you know, psychology and understanding people and understanding how things work and helping people at the same time. So I kind of learnt about business, and that was a complete turning point for me because I'd never been interested in that before, and I didn't realize how fun it could be and how challenging, in a positive way, business could be. It was also around this time I met a lovely man who is now my husband, who was travelling around Australia, and after leaving his job of 10 years back in England, because they were downsizing, and he took a redundancy rather than continue to work, because he decided he wanted to go travelling, which was pretty awesome for me, because he happened to pass through my life and stick. So I met Nick, and we were together for about a year, when we went on a trip to Fiji. Now this was, 2008, I think. And this is where the whole other side of my life began. This is, you know, those little moments in life where you don't really realize the significance of them until many, many years later and you look back. We went to Fiji, and we'd made friends with a family there. And when we were leaving, the mother of the family handed me a novel and said, "I finished this. You know, I thought you might like something to read on the ferry home and then the plane home." And I said, "Great, thank you." And it was a book called The Friday Night Knitting Club. Chick lit. Not something I would normally read. But, you know, I was stuck on a ferry going through Fijian islands for 5 hours. So I thought, what the hell, I'll give it a go. So I started reading. And something about that story stuck with me. It was a story of a group of women in New York who got together and knitted. Basically, they had a club. Okay, one of them owned a yarn store, and the rest of them would come, you know, once a week, and they'd all sit around together and they'd knit and, you know, share their lives and stories, and that's what it really came down to. But for some reason, it really inspired me to try knitting. And I'd been taught when I was about 8 years old, I think, by a babysitter, a little bit of how to knit. And I tried again once when I was a bit older, and it just was a horrible disaster, so I gave up. But this time round, the miracle of YouTube had been invented. So I actually went down to Spotlight, the craft store, and bought some yarn and some knitting needles. And I went home and I pulled up some videos on YouTube that were showing me how to start knitting. And I started. And I made a scarf. I think that was the first thing I ever made. And when I finished that scarf, there was just something about it. You know, I'd created this thing that I was holding in my hands, and it had been fun. And that was a turning point for me, because until that moment, all of my life, all of the work I had done was ephemeral. I worked in academia. I was a teacher, which I love to this day and still do. But, you know, there's never a finished product when you're a teacher. You know, you're just part of a process, and you can't ever hold something in your hands and say, "I did this, I created this, I made this," you know. And there was something really profoundly satisfying in that for me, and it started me on a bit of a journey of discovery when it came to craft. So I started to knit, and then I learned a little bit about how to crochet, and then one day I was in Spotlight and I kind of saw the bead section and thought, "Oh, is there any way I could incorporate some beads into what I'm doing?" And then I, you know, saw the other jewellery finding section and started making jewellery, and that's just where it all snowballed from there. And I got really a little bit obsessed, let's be honest, with making beaded jewellery. And I got to the point where I was sitting there one night in my study after work making stuff, and I had these huge piles of jewellery around me. Funnily enough, I'm not actually a big jewellery wearer. I wasn't back then. I'm more so now. I wear my own stuff quite often. But it was the process of the making more than the making to wear that I enjoyed. So I thought, gosh, what am I going to do with all this stuff? Well, maybe I could try selling it. But I wasn't interested in doing markets or selling to shops or anything like that. I had a full-time job. I was busy. I didn't relish giving up my weekends to go sell at markets. And serendipitously, just at the same time, I stumbled across Etsy. Don't ask me how, I don't remember. I somehow came across it on Google and came across somebody's Etsy shop. This was 2008. And it was like a revelation. It was like, Of course. Why don't I sell it online? I love the internet. I love, you know, I've been blogging for years at this stage, and I'd actually already started blogging about my craft journey because I wanted to share it. It's just something I wanted to write about and talk about. So I already had a blog going, which was called Ethereal Designs, and I decided to open an Etsy shop. And I'd never, you know, sold anything before, and it was a big, huge learning curve. Still is a learning curve. And I opened my shop, and I think about a month afterwards, approximately, I made my first sale. And I still remember that moment when I was sitting at my computer and that email came in that somebody had loved something I made enough to exchange money for it. And it was a thrill. It was so exciting. I jumped up and hugged Nick and jumped up and down a bit more, and I was hooked. I loved it. And I just kept going. I kept learning. I kept writing about what I was doing. I kept writing about what I was learning on my Ethereal Designs blog. I, you know, started making more stuff. I started learning about how to take better photos and how to write better descriptions and, you know, making a banner and trying to come up with some branding and, gosh, all of that stuff. And marketing, I mean, you know, social media was only really just getting started then. There was kind of Facebook and Twitter had kind of begun then, I think. But, you know, Instagram, Pinterest, none of that was around then. And there were other things, you know, and other ways you would get your stuff out there that you don't really do so much these days. Something called Project Wonderful, where you could, you know, serve ads on people's blogs and stuff like that. And I just kept doing that and kept growing that as my hobby. It was what I did when I got home from work and before I went to work in the morning. My job started at 1 in the afternoon, so that was pretty sweet. I had some time in the afternoon to work. And I did that for the next year and a half. So through the rest of 2008 and all 2009, I grew Ethereal, my jewellery business, as a hobby business. And around the beginning of 2009 is when I started to get into the silver. And I did a weekend silversmithing course at the Brisbane Institute of Art, which taught me the basics of silversmithing technique. And pretty much everything else I've done since then, I'm self-taught at. So, you know, I just played around and taught myself how to do stuff. And slowly my style evolved and evolved. And at the same time, while I was learning more about the, you know, the making process, I was learning about the business side of things, and I was sharing what I was learning on my blog because I just loved, you know, to try to help people. You know, once I discovered how to do something, I wanted to tell everybody else how to do it as well so that they could figure it out quicker and actually, you know, not stumble around in the dark like I'd been doing. So that's what was happening there. There was another shift at the end of 2009. And that's how we kind of moved to where we are today, which is working for myself full time. It was actually a bit of an accident. I didn't actually plan on taking my jewellery business full time. What happened was this. In the September school holidays of 2009, Nick and I got married. And when I went back to work, my boss sat me down and said, "Jess, I'm going to sell the business." So I worked for a franchise tuition center, and I was the manager, but my boss was the owner. So he decided to sell, and he said, "You know, you may..." Well, first of all, he offered it to me. He said, "You know, do you want to buy it?" And I took that home and thought about it and discussed it with Nick and decided, no, I liked my job, I enjoyed it, but I wasn't passionate about it to the point where I wanted it to be my business. And then, you know, he said, "Well, you may be kept on as the manager, or the new owner might like to own and manage it. So, you know, what do you want to do?" And I said, "Well, I think I'll just finish at the end of the year so I can move on with my life." And since Nick and I had just gotten married, and he's English, so he didn't have a working visa, so he hadn't been out of work. He'd been the house spouse of our couple, you know, living off his savings from his old job and running the household for us. And so we decided, hey, this is a perfect opportunity to go traveling. You know, I'm finishing up my job. You haven't got a job yet. Let's go travel before we settle down again. So we decided to do that. We bought an empty van, an empty courier van, and we moved back in with my parents for the summer because my folks live out in the country. They have 6 acres, and my dad has this massive barn and every tool under the sun. So we moved back in there, and we spent the summer converting this empty courier van into a fully functioning camper van that we could live in for a year. And that was really, really fun. And my dad and Nick and I all worked together on that project. And by the time, you know, the van had been finished, I think that was probably mid-February of 2010, I'd actually shut down my shop during this time. I'd shut Ethereal down because I was, you know, we were going to go traveling and that was just my hobby. And I wanted to, you know, I didn't want to have to run that while I was traveling and enjoying myself. And but we got to this point where the van was finished, but we couldn't actually leave. And the reason we couldn't leave is because I had actually had some health issues. I had some problems with my teeth, which just, as some health issues do, they just keep kind of sticking around, and there was one problem, and then that caused another problem, and I ended up having to get my wisdom teeth out, and there was all these other issues, and it took months and months and months to get this sorted out. And we couldn't leave because I had another appointment with a specialist the week after, and then another one 2 weeks after that to get a, you know, a root canal done and all these horrible things. So we were kind of stuck. And but once we'd finished the van, I was suddenly very bored because I didn't have a job. We'd finished our project and I was like, well, what am I going to do with myself? And we didn't have jobs. We had, you know, savings, but we weren't bringing in any money. So I thought, well, why don't I just, I'll just reopen Ethereal and just, you know, try to sell off some more stock and maybe make some more pieces and make us a little bit of money that way. And so I did. I reopened, and because I had nothing else to do with my time, I just threw myself in. I was working 16-hour days almost every day, well, pretty much every day of the week, let's be honest. I do have a slightly obsessive personality at times, and that's what happened here. And it just snowballed. I was because I was putting so much time and energy into it and learning as much as I could and applying and making so many new designs, the business started to grow. And by the time all my health issues were sorted out, it was going really well. And it was, you know, we kind of sat there and sort of talked about it and went, well, let's just go with this. Let's just keep it going and see what happens. So that's what we did. We didn't end up going on our trip. Not to worry. We've done plenty of traveling since then and we don't feel hard done by. Although we're hoping that we still will get on that trip one day, around that round Australia trip that we were planning. We're actually, as I record this, we're about to head off for a month doing the southern eastern corner of Australia. We're going to go down to Sydney and house sit for a week with a friend's place, and then we're going to drive to Melbourne, and then we're going to do the Great Ocean Road up to Adelaide, and then we're going to head back to Brisbane, and that's going to be a trip for a month. And we're going to be working, making jewellery, and, you know, I'll be running Create and Thrive while we're on the road. So if you're listening to this in April 2015, come over to @Ethereal on Instagram and you can follow our journey. So, you know, coming back to, you know, this was kind of the end of 2010, the business was going, and we just rolled with it. And, you know, I loved it. I loved being my own boss. I loved the challenge of, you know, learning new things and experimenting. See, there's a science background again. I loved experimenting, and business is all about experimenting and trying things out and failing and trying again until you succeed, and then doing something new and, you know, creating new designs and getting stuff out there into the world and teaching. You know, while all this was going on, I was still writing about my experiences. I think it was probably in 2010 that I released my first ebook, which was Etsy Success Stories, which is no longer available. But I actually went and interviewed a whole lot of successful Etsy sellers and drew out what they told me and actually shared my own research and what I discovered and wrote an ebook about it. And I put that out to the world. And, you know, it was kind of a no-brainer that I would keep teaching. And it about this time as well, kind of towards the end of 2010, I had another idea, and this was an idea to create a magazine for handmakers, specifically for makers, about our world and our life. And I'd never had any publishing experience. I had no idea what I was doing, but I wanted to make this happen. I had the passion for it. And it was a little magazine called Bespoke. Some of you may have read it or heard about it. It's no longer around. I actually sold it 2 years later, and it's gone on. It existed for a while without me, but I don't think it exists anymore. And I made that happen, and I kind of just put it out there and on Twitter, I believe, and said, hey, what do people think of this idea? And people were really enthusiastic. So, you know, I taught myself how to use InDesign, and I had a wonderful, lovely, lovely lady called Michaela Danvers from Canberra Creatives who volunteered to help me with, you know, she was a graphic designer, is a graphic designer, helped me put together the first issue, and I kept her on for the entire time. I ran Bespoke and paid her to be my designer to put it all together after that first issue. I've got in touch with printers and worked out, you know, how that all worked and sourced advertisers and all this stuff that I had absolutely no idea about how to do. I figured it out and put that first issue print. I did a print version and a digital version and put it out into the world, and that was really, really exciting. And I did that for about 2 years. But as I was coming to the end of 2012, I had this new idea that was percolating away, and it was clamoring to be heard. And the idea was that I really wanted to devote a lot more time to teaching. I saw so many makers struggling to work out how to make their businesses successful. And by this stage, you know, Ethereal was doing really, really well. We were making a nice amount of money from it. Nick never ended up getting a job because now he works with me in the business. So, you know, that had worked beautifully for us as a family. And, you know, that this voice wouldn't leave me alone, that, you know, I really wanted to be able to devote more time to teaching, but I was already running Ethereal and Bespoke, and I knew that I couldn't add a third thing in there without my life falling apart. So I had to let something go, and I didn't want to let Ethereal go. So I decided to let Bespoke go. And that's when I sold it on and, freed up the time and my mental energy for this new thing. And the new thing was Create and Thrive. And I knew from the beginning that I wanted to, you know, I wanted this to be something special, and I wanted it to be a bit different. You know, I wanted it to be a place where I and other people who'd really done this, you know, who were down in the trenches, who were actually running successful handmade businesses, shared what they were learning with others. And that was the whole impetus behind Create and Thrive. So at the beginning of 2013, I launched Create and Thrive, and we're kind of, you know, have been doing that for the last 2 years now. And I love it. I love it so much. I love, you know, working with creatives and makers and hearing from them and hearing that what I'm sharing has helped them. And it's just the most rewarding thing ever. And I'm so glad I made the decision to start Create and Thrive. So, of course, we still run Ethereal, and it's still growing and doing really, really well. And now I run Create and Thrive as well. And that is why I'm here talking to you today on this episode zero of the Create and Thrive podcast, because I decided I wanted to start telling things, telling my story and speaking to you about what I'm learning and what I want to teach. And I'm going to be, you know, in these podcasts, I'm going to be also sharing my own lessons. I'm going to be answering your questions, and I'm also going to be interviewing people and people who can help you with some aspect of your creative business. And that's the whole point of this podcast. So, you know, I'm hoping that you'll love everything I'm going to be bringing you here. I'm hoping that this little story gives you a lot more insight into where I've come from and who I am. You know, I love to teach, I love to learn and pass on what I'm learning. It's kind of almost, it was kind of inevitable that this would happen, that Create and Thrive would happen, and that I would be here teaching this stuff today. And I really, really, really want to help you make your dream come true. You know, if you really have a dream and a passion for what you make, you know, for something that you create, and you want to work out how to turn that into a thriving, profitable business, that is why I'm here, to help you do that. That is what I want you to do. I want, you know, I really want everybody to be as happy as they can be. I'm so happy in my life. You know, it's nothing like what I expected it was going to be even 10 years ago. You know, when I was a kid, if you went back to my younger self and told her where I would be today, she would probably laugh at you. You know, you make jewelry for a living? Really? You're supposed to be curing AIDS. Like, what happened? But honestly, I'm hoping someone else will do that. But I'm where I need to be. I'm where I want to be, and I'm really, really happy, and I want other people to discover that happiness for themselves and realize you don't have to do what you've always done. You don't have to follow the path that you set down for yourself sometime in the past. You know, you can always change. You can always switch things up. You can always change your mind. You can change who you think you are, and you can become somebody new, and you can do something new with your life. And, you know, I believe we only have this one life, and we need to reach out and grab what we want and actually go after it. And that's what I'm here to help you do. So welcome to the Create and Thrive podcast. I'm Jess Van Den, and I'll see you next week. Bye. For more episodes of this podcast, head over to createandthrive.com/CT podcast.